5, that would be Crump versus McCoy. The matter before the court is the oral ruling that I promised yesterday afternoon following the conclusion of the trial. Eric Ronke appears for debtor plaintiff Trice LaVon Crump, and Jim Craig and Dalen Ramstead appear for defendant Christina Ann McCoy. Before I get to my ruling, I want to thank counsel for the manner in which you conducted yourselves throughout this emotionally charged adversary proceeding. And I especially want to commend Mr. Ronke for the professional courtesy he extended in agreeing to continue the trial more than once due to Mr. Ramstead's illness. As I said, as I promised at the conclusion of yesterday's trial, I spent the afternoon and early evening reviewing the record and considering the arguments of counsel, and I am now prepared to render my decision. A Chapter 7 discharge does not discharge a debt for willful and malicious injury by the debtor to another entity. 11 U.S.C. Section 523A6. Such a debt must be for both a willful injury and a malicious injury. Blocker v. Patch, In re. Patch, 526 F3rd 1176, 1180, 8th Circuit, 2008. The word willful in Section 523A6 modifies the word injury, indicating non-dischargeability takes a deliberate or intentional injury, not merely a deliberate or intentional act that leads to injury. Kawahau v. Geiger, and that's spelled K-A-W-A-A-U-H-A-U, 523 U.S. 5761, 1998. If the debtor knows that the consequences are certain or substantially certain to result from his conduct, the debtor is treated as if he had, in fact, desired to produce those consequences. Patch, 526 F3rd at 1180. A malicious injury is one resulting from conduct targeted at the creditor, at least in the sense that the conduct is certain or almost certain to cause harm. Sells v. Porter, In re. Porter, 539 F3rd, 889, 894, 8th Circuit, 2008. Because direct evidence of intent rarely exists or is nearly impossible to obtain, a court may look to the surrounding circumstances to determine the debtor's intent. See, for example, In re. Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, 164 BR 992, 996, Bankruptcy Eastern District, Missouri, 1994, and In re. Price, 124 BR 791, 795, Bankruptcy Western District of Missouri, 1991. A court is not required to accept as true a debtor's self-justifying testimony. In re. Lacina, L-A-C-I-N-A, 162 BR 267, 276, Bankruptcy District, North Dakota, 1993. In this case, debtor is the only person who truly knows whether he intended to strike Ms. McCoy with the bar glass, and he claims he did not. Viewed in its entirety, however, the evidence of the surrounding circumstances leads me to find otherwise. Ms. McCoy testified she and debtor argued at Old Broadway, and she told him to leave her alone and to stop following her. Both Jennifer Fain and Leah Ramstead testified they observed Ms. McCoy and debtor arguing at Old Broadway, although they could not hear what was said. Debtor did not refute this testimony. In fact, his cousin Michael Crump testified debtor told him Ms. McCoy was, quote, tripping, close quote. Ms. McCoy testified debtor threatened to, quote, F her up, close quotes, and he used the actual word she chose not to use while on the witness stand. Debtor denied threatening Ms. McCoy. Ms. Fain testified sometime thereafter debtor was standing 6 or 7 feet from Ms. McCoy and threw the bar glass directly at Ms. McCoy with a, quote, heavy force, close quote. She further testified both on direct and on cross she had, quote, no doubt, close quote, debtor was throwing the bar glass at Ms. McCoy. She further testified after he threw the bar glass at Ms. McCoy, debtor, quote, took off out the door, close quote. Ms. Ramstead, who was not in the courtroom when Ms. Fain testified, also testified Debtor was standing 6 or 7 feet from Ms. McCoy. She did not see Debtor throw the bar glass, but she did see it strike Ms. McCoy. She further testified she then saw Debtor, quote, flee out the east side door of Old Broadway, close quote. In response to a follow-up question, she clarified he, quote, ran, close quote, out the door. Debtor's testimony differed markedly from that of Ms. Fain and Ms. Ramstead. He testified he was standing 3 or 4 feet from the door and 10 to 12 feet from Debtor and her friends, became frustrated with how Debtor was treating him and his cousin, turned away from Debtor and her friends, and while walking toward the door, threw the bar glass with a backhand motion. The two versions of what transpired that night cannot be reconciled. Either Debtor threatened Ms. McCoy, as Ms. McCoy testified, or he did not, as Debtor testified. Either Debtor was standing 6 or 7 feet from Ms. McCoy and threw the bar glass directly at her, as Ms. Fain testified, or he was 10 to 12 feet from her, moving toward the door, and tossed the bar glass away without seeing it strike Ms. McCoy, as Debtor testified. Either he fled the scene, as both Ms. Fain and Ms. Ramstad testified, or he walked out of Old Broadway without knowing what he had done, as he testified. I believe Ms. McCoy, Ms. Fain, and Ms. Ramstad. Their testimony was straightforward and unambiguous. They answered every question put to them. They freely admitted what they did not know or did not see. They did not embellish. Their stories did not vary on cross-examination, and they displayed no malice or ill will toward Debtor. In short, they gave me no reason not to believe them. Debtor, on the other hand, displayed absolutely no remorse on the witness stand, even though it is undisputed he caused serious injury to someone with whom he once had a long-term relationship and about whom he testified he still cared on the evening in question. In fact, he was much more troubled by the fact that the public defender assigned to him convinced him to plead guilty to the felony criminal charges that were brought against him following the events of the evening. That, he said, quote, lays on his mind every day, close quote. I find this very troubling and very telling. Debtor's testimony is a prime example of the sort of self-justifying testimony I am not required to and do not accept as true. Debtor's version of events is further belied by his own cousin's testimony. Michael Crump testified Debtor left him at Old Broadway even though he, Michael Crump, had never been to Fargo before, did not know where Debtor went, did not know how to get back to Debtor's apartment, and ended up having to get a hotel room. This supports Ms. Fain's testimony that Debtor took off out the door, and Ms. Ramstead's testimony that Debtor fled or ran from Old Broadway. And that strongly suggests Debtor knew exactly what he had done and was literally fleeing the scene of the crime. Finally, Ms. McCoy testified regarding several instances in the past in which Debtor abused her both mentally and physically. While Debtor did not object to or rebut this evidence, it most likely has limited relevance in light of Federal Rule of Evidence 404, which provides, quote, evidence of a person's character or a trait of character is not admissible for the purpose of proving action in conformity therewith on a particular occasion, close quote. Such evidence, quote, may, however, be admissible for other purposes, such as intent or absence of mistake or accident, close quote. Federal Rule of Evidence 404B. To the extent it has any relevance, Ms. McCoy's testimony would provide some additional, but unnecessary, evidence of Debtor's intent to harm Ms. McCoy, and some additional, but unnecessary, evidence that Ms. McCoy's injuries were not the result of mistake or accident. For all these reasons, I find Ms. McCoy's claim is for both a willful injury and a malicious injury. In throwing the bar glass directly at Ms. McCoy from 6 or 7 feet away, Debtor intended to cause her injury. And in doing so, his conduct was targeted at Ms. McCoy in the sense that it was certain or almost certain to cause her harm. Had debtor listed or scheduled Ms. McCoy's claim in time to permit her to timely request a determination of the dischargeability of her claim? Debtor admits he did not. Or had Ms. McCoy had notice or actual knowledge of the case in time to timely request such a determination? Debtor does not claim she did. Ms. McCoy would have prevailed under Section 523A6. Consequently, Ms. McCoy's claim is non-dischargeable under Section 523A3. The court will enter an appropriate order and judgment. Thank you all. Goodbye.
Thanks, Judge.